Now. Real people. Real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Along to the show. Now, I don't know whether you've been watching the news today, right? Well, this whole news and these revelations about the pyramids in Giza, it is mind-blowing. And I mean mind-blowing. So for those who haven't seen the news today, they have just verified, it seems, that there's eight, like these tunnels. Well, they're not kind of tunnels. They're kind of like chimney stacks, I suppose, under the pyramids in, you know, a perfectly parallel that go down about a half a kilometre, and they have pathways around them going right down about a half a kilometre, or 2 kilometres, should I say. It's just incredible. They've done this with imaging using satellites, and everybody's now trying to figure out what it is. So there's loads of theories going around that maybe the Egyptians didn't build the pyramids at all, that it was from another civilization who were using it to create energy from the earth. Way ahead of us, by the way, way more advanced than we've ever been. And that it would create hydrogen, and the pyramids themselves were essentially the batteries to store the energy. It's just incredible, because there's no way they could have been, like, if you think about this logically, there's no way people could have built these things over, you know, 2,000 years ago, whatever it was. They just couldn't have done it. And particularly what we're seeing now. Now, I'm hoping that this is all true, by the way, but I've seen the images. They're all over the news. They're everywhere. It's like these kind of lost civilizations. But you should have, we're going to get somebody on to talk about it tomorrow evening, a science correspondent to talk about it. But it is an amazing discovery. Now, we've a lot to get through the show tonight. First up, we're going to be talking about Adolescence, that new Netflix show. I don't know whether you've watched it or not. And, you know, it's got everybody talking, including, by the way, the Taoiseach, Simon Harris. He said it should be compulsory viewing in schools. I'm not so sure I agree with that. Is it an eye-opener for young people, or are we overestimating the influence of social media on boys today? Then we're going to be looking at the latest celebrity cheating scandal. Lily Allen and David Harbour, reports say that he was allegedly having a 3-year affair before the split. And it raises the age-old question, why do people cheat? And would you forgive a cheater? So if your husband or your wife cheated on you, would you forgive them? After that, we're going to be talking about tattoos. These days, it feels like everyone's getting them. But is there such thing as too much ink? Are tattoos just harmless self-expression? Or have they become a little bit overdone? Is there still a stigma around them? And finally, we're going to get a bit nostalgic later on, because Colm and Lucy at the Breakfast Show this morning got nostalgic, and they kind of reminisced about Mosny. This is after, of course, the sad news that Thunder's Bakery is closing down. We all remember Thunder's Bakery. Of course, they've been there for many, many years. Some wonderful cakes. So what do you miss from days gone by? Maybe it's a place, a tradition, or just a way of life that's disappeared. We want you to send us some voice notes now, and we'll play them later on tonight. So tell us what you miss from days gone by. Was it the Bay City Rollers? Wearing those Bay City Roller tartan trousers? Or was it, you know, I don't know, a chocolate bar that you know, what chocolate bars were around at the time that are not around now? 2 and 2. I used to love 2 and 2. You can't get them anymore. Maybe there was something that you missed from days gone by, a toy that you got for Christmas. All of those things. Let us know. Send us a voice note now at 087-188-0008. And we play some of those messages a little bit later on in the show. Get involved. Go onto our social media as well. Now, let's first of all talk about this program. Now, I started to watch it last night. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've only watched the first episode of it, and already I was losing the will to live because I found it too slow to watch. And this is the new Netflix program that everybody's talking about, Adolescence. It's a show that's got people talking, politicians, parents, teachers, and young people themselves. And Adolescence is a drama series that explores the impact of social media on teenage boys, particularly how online influencers shape their views on relationships, women, and masculinity. Now, the show follows a group of teenage friends as they navigate their coming of age years, so to speak, with some becoming drawn into a world, I suppose, of that kind of incel culture and extreme online ideologies. Now, through their stories, and the series sheds light on the struggles of modern adolescence, the pressures, the insecurities, and the search for identity in an increasingly, I suppose, dangerous digital world. It's been praised for tackling difficult but important themes, but it's also been criticised for its intense subject matter. Some argue it's essential viewing, while others question if it paints too broad a picture of young men today. There's also been a suggestion, by the way, as well, by a lot of people online, that the programme in itself is racist, because it's seemingly portraying a true story, but a true story using different ethnicities. So, Taoiseach Simon Harris said he believes Adolescence would be compulsory viewing and should be compulsory viewing for, you know, Irish secondary school children. Why? Because in his words, the show provides a glimpse into how social media influencers are filling the void in young men's lives, particularly when it comes to toxic ideas about women, relationships, and masculinity. So are we suggesting women, by the way, are not influenced by social media? because that would be a bizarre notion. And that seems to be what we're suggesting. I'm going to hazard a guess here and say that I believe women are more influenced by social media than men. Young girls are more influenced by social media than young boys. But is the serious the wake-up call that maybe we need? Or is it overblown? Is it fair to suggest that young men today are all a kind of risk of developing negative attitudes towards women? After all, it's completely normal for teenage boys to be curious about the opposite sex prior to growing up. And one scene last night, they kind of showed the guy, the main kid who's 13 years of age, who stabbed a young girl to death. They showed him images that he had downloaded on Instagram of, you know, half, when I say half naked girls, were girls in underwear, women in their 20s in their underwear. They asked him, did he like them? Did he want his girlfriend to look like them? And he kind of just nodded. But there's nothing wrong with a young boy looking at, you know, a woman in her underwear, a young woman in her underwear. That's perfectly healthy curiosity, isn't it? I'm assuming girls do the same thing. But yet we're told that with boys, that's toxic in some way. But let me know what you think. Would you watch it? Should it be shown in schools? Do you really believe it should be shown in schools? And are we really in a world where young boys have a very bad view of women and how they should treat them? Let me know what you think. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Or don't forget, by the way, go to our social media on Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits and at X at Classic Hits Radio. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Welcome back on Monday night.
Thank
you. We have to do this now for every night.
You're not going to do this every night, Angela.
Back.
No, no.
Yeah.
The welcome back only works the first night. Sorry. unless I vanish, unless I vanish again and have to come back again, which is highly likely the way I feel.
Don't.
But go on, yeah.
Please don't. So I watched it. I thought it was amazing. The one thing, you know, as you were saying there was rumors going around that it was based on this story and that story. And
well, there was two murders in the UK that they believe it was based on, those two murders. Yeah.
So, because Stephen Graham, one of those murders happened after this was even filmed.
Mm. Oh, I know. That was the one last year. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Stephen Graham has come out. He is like, oh my God, I just think he is amazing.
Now, the only thing is, I'm not a fan of the production and direction of it in the way that it's a single camera shot. This idea that the camera follows, it's all done in a single shot, so the camera follows people around.
It's one scene shot, whatever they call it.
Yeah, that does my head in.
I thought that added to it.
Oh, okay.
I thought that added to it. I don't think it completely... I know you were saying that you think it just shows boys in a bad light. There's actually some scenes in it where it's showing girls in a bad light as well.
Well, no, I'm being honest, I've only seen the first episode.
You only saw the first episode.
I'm only going by what people online are saying. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's one episode there where it shows one of the girls absolutely kicking the living crap out of a young fella and like kicked him in the head and the ribs. So,
here's the problem. I think social media in itself, I'm going to be honest, and I believe social media is a worse influence on young girls than it is on young boys.
Oh, completely.
Hmm?
Completely. But the one thing that it totally showed my ignorance on, I had never heard of this incel thing.
Yeah.
I never heard of it either. I had to look it up. I was like, what do they mean a red pill means this? What do they mean?
That goes back to that kind of culture of the Matrix, you know, taking the red pill, which is going to the wrong side, to the dark side. And that's where that comes from.
I've never watched the Matrix.
Yeah, well, you have a choice of two pills and you can take the wrong one and go to the dark side.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying, like, with this, I think it can actually be very educational for teenagers and actually for their parents.
Mm.
Because, like, I don't have kids, but I actually never, I was with my sister yesterday, I should have asked her, did she watch it? Because, let's say, my nephew's 15. But I guarantee if I turn around and said, Mary, do you know what a red pill means? She'd be like, no. You know, this
Well, yeah, what's astonishing in it is they're a normal family. They seem like decent parents, although the father might have a few anger issues, but they seem like decent parents. You know, and a decent family, a close family. Even the sister came to jail with, you know, to, she didn't want to go home. She wanted to make sure the kid was okay. The father had no idea. How do you have no idea that your 13-year-old is capable of stabbing somebody to death? You know?
That's what I'm saying. I've been watching a lot of interviews with Stephen Graham, and he had said that's the exact reason that he did this. Is because when he did, you know, when it started kind of being more prominent that there was a lot more kids being stabbed, be it, you know, male or female, a lot of kids were being stabbed. And like that, he was going, where the hell are the parents? How can the parents not see this? You know, and that's why he did this, to kind of show he did a lot of investigating, a lot of research and a lot of interviews.
Do you think young boys are worse now than they were 20 years ago when it comes to respecting young girls or their attitude towards women?
No. I think it's all the same.
Pornography is more freely available. Also, girls are more promiscuous now than they would have been 20 years ago. You know, sure, girls are flaunting it openly online for a fiver a month.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, you know, girls have equally become more promiscuous.
Absolutely. And I think worse, like, now we spoke about this before, like when we talk about cheating and everything, and it's like, oh yeah, more males are, you know, caught cheating. Yeah, that's the word, caught.
Mm.
Because they're stupid. Women are too clever to get caught.
Mm.
And I'm a woman and I can tell you that.
Bitches. Do you think this is compulsory viewing? According to Simon Harris, it should be compulsory viewing in schools across the country. Do you think so?
I think from about, actually, yes, 13, 14. It's.
And what would they learn from it? What do you think they would learn from it?
I think that the biggest lesson is in it, that it's okay to be frigid.
Hmm.
Because that's what you're called, you know.
Yeah.
You haven't had a fella touch you up or a girl touch you up or anything like that. Because that's basically what it's about.
Yeah.
The whole thing is about that she is saying that he will never be with a girl. He will never, you know, it's her bullying him.
Yeah, the kid who plays the part, I don't know his name, but he's a great actor. And they purposely picked a kid who looked innocent. If you know, whatever an innocent kid looks like, he doesn't look like a toe rag. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, he doesn't look like a scumbag going around with a hoodie on.
No.
You know, with a hoodie on and socks up over the tracksuit. And that was his first acting job.
Yeah, I have to be honest, the idea that when they burst into the house first, he pissed himself, which shows that he's the innocent, sensitive type.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then lies to his father as well, by the way.
That's why I'm saying, Niall, I know you found it, you know, very drawn out, I'd watch the rest of it. I really would. I was caught.
What about the accusations of racism? That, you know, when you look at the crime statistics in the UK, black versus white, and we have to be honest about this when we talk about knife crime and murders, you know, in more recent times we have seen it's been black gangs or whatever it is. And yet people are saying this is supposed to be loosely based on a true story, and yet they've switched the ethnicities. Or certainly it's made out that the white people or the white kid is bad and the black person is the detective and the good person in it. And people are saying that was wrong to do that. Do you think that was wrong to do that? Or do you think that's just the way it happened?
Because, you see, the thing is, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Mm.
If they had put it that it was a black kid kicked it, then they'd be like, oh, Jesus, you're being racist because it's a black kid. And in the scene that I'm talking about, where her best friend attacks someone, her best friend's black. Mm. So they're doing both sides of it.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to be honest. Okay, and say I haven't watched that far yet. But stay there for a second, Angela. Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, Niall, how are things?
Have you watched it, Mike?
Say that again.
Have you watched it?
I haven't. No. I'm gone like a recluse. No, Niall. I bought a new television at Christmas, but I never got it going, and I don't think I'll ever again watch television because of all that purge that's on it now. Right? No, there's nothing. You know, it's just like the social media there, like with, you know, it has destroyed the youth, like, you know, the act, you know, in our day and age, the act of chatting up Yeah, for the six legs. So, you know, as I start,
it was a slow. Yeah, it was a slow process. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's it. And very often the hunt was better than the kill. Like, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yes, I know you don't mean that literally. Obviously, yes, you mean
the speech, like, that's what you say on the country, like, you know.
Yeah,
but. The no, you see the social media and Instagram or anything like that. The influence it has on them is destroying their mind. Like, what they want to do, they want to show more of their sexuality. They want they're wearing less. They're exposing more than that. Like, then on the other side of it, it's my body, it's my right. I can do what I like.
But you say they're wearing less. Go back to the 1970s. Twiggy was walking around in a miniskirt and a little belly top on her.
But different thing.
People gave out about it then.
You know, in the 80s, as we used to say, you'd have to pull, what was it? You'd have to pull the knickers aside to see the chicken of her ass. No, you'd have to pull the chicken of her ass aside to see the knickers.
Right, that, so.
Very true.
So what you're saying to me is that social media has changed teenagers.
It has. F-U-C-K-D-E-D.
It's damaged complete. Them. Okay, damaged them badly. That's not what you spelled, obviously.
No,
yeah, I know.
No.
Yeah. So, and is there any way back? Or is it too late? Has the horse bolted? Can we go back?
I think it's too late, Niall.
For this generation.
Look at Niall. Like, when you were young there, like, how old were you when you took your first job? When you went out to earn a pound, eh?
Yeah. Oh, he's 15 or 16, yeah.
They're just destroyed now with these tablets and these face. And what drives me crazy altogether is, like, what I say, from what I see, and I'm down the country, like, is that these phones now and that, they're babysitting the kids now, like.
So the program, the program does is it basically says, or it sends a message out, a strong message out, that social media primarily and this kind of groupings of kids on social media is encouraging young boys to have less respect for young girls. So you agree with that? That's happening. You think that's happening?
More so the other way. Nice.
But the difference in our day is we didn't have social media, but we still talked amongst ourselves. There was still kind of locker room talk. Oh, look at your woman. I'd give her one. You know, all that kind of... That still went on, didn't it? Just in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, you just wouldn't write it down.
as coming home from the dance one night, there were 13 of us inside and Mark to Westcott. And how did you get on last night, Gerald? How do you... Yeah. You know...
I remember one of the famous lines was when your mate said to you that he picked up a girl last night. And the famous line was, what story is she performing? That's what they used to say. That was the kind of stuff that was said. So, is she putting out? Yeah, I know. Yeah. So that was the kind of conversations that happened then. It's just changed. That's it's just on social media now.
And it was innocent, Niall. Like, it was innocent. You know, you got a bit of tit in the outside. Excuse my vulgar, but that was the thing in our age group that time. Like, Jesus, we were, you know, that. But so there's nothing left to the imagination anymore, Niall. Like.
Yeah.
You know.
You know,
it's just. Frightening. I asked you there, Niall, 2 months ago to give me a ring there. You were supposed to ring me the following day. Can you ring me back?
I do apologise. I'm going to tell you why I didn't ring you. Because the following day, I ended up in hospital. Niall. Yeah.
I had that. Yeah. But give me a ring there sometime, Niall. It shocked me and it sickened me.
Yeah.
And I'm no prude, Niall. I'm no prude, like.
Okay, well, do me a favor. Stay there, Angela and Mike. I just want to go to Jason, who's best friends with Angela. Jason, hi. Jason, have you watched Adolescence? Everybody's talking about it. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't watched it yet. No, I haven't been home yet. So me and Lorraine were actually talking about it, and we have a son that age, and we have a daughter just a year older.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
But you know my circumstances. I have older kids.
Yeah.
Now, I have a 22-year-old son.
Yeah.
And what he tells me, Niall, is scary about growing up. And I'm going to say it out straight. A straight white young fella.
Yeah.
He has told me, no word of a lie. Sorry, Niall, I'm just getting back into my truck. the stuff he tells me about what's going on out there now. We had a great conversation a while ago, and he asked me, was his mum like that? And I went,
like what?
No.
His mum like what?
Like the way the girls are today.
What?
Literally, like...
Promiscuous, you mean, promiscuous.
It's not even the promiscuous part, Dial. Girls nowadays think nothing of having three or four fellas on the go.
Yeah.
And it's dinner.
Why are we suggesting males have this kind of masculine toxic? I'm going to break it down for you now.
Because we are afraid to tell girls how to carry on, how to behave, how to do anything. Why? Because it's misogynistic. They love that word. None of them know what that word means, though. You ask any 21-year-old girl what's misogynistic mean, you won't be able to tell you the definition of it. It's just something to hear everybody say it. I mean, we have a generation of men being brought up, and I'm sorry to say it, by single women trying to bring their boys up to be men. But in their eyes of what a man should be, and a man should be, let a girl do whatever she wants to do, and if you have a problem with it, you're a control freak. You're a misogynist, yeah. You're a this, you're a that. And Niall, that is what is being put onto young men now. Like, we are having conversation after conversation about how men should behave online, how men should... I mean, even look at the ads. Great ad out now. I'm not sure who it's for, but it's the girl, she comes back from the future with her fancy new man. And the fella is, oh, is this me? Oh, no, we traded up, didn't we do well? Now, if you were to switch that around and it was a man and a woman and the woman was there with two kids and the man came back with a hot supermodel and says, no, I traded her in for this, didn't I do well? They'd be fucking uproar. But see, that's what we've done now. We've twisted it. Sorry, Andrew, for 1 second, love. I'll let you come back
all
in.
Right,
straight white men are now the laughing stock. They're ridiculed. They're told everything that's wrong in the world is down to white men because they conquered the world. They enslaved everybody. They killed everybody. They invented everybody. It's all a man's world. It's a man's world. The big question at the moment.
But it was a man's world.
But you're not allowed to say that now. The big question going around America at the moment is, well, you have to put me onto one of these podcasts. Brian something is his name. He's brilliant. He gets these OF girls on. These OF girls now, you're not allowed to call them sex workers. You're not allowed to call them porn
stars. OnlyFans girls, yeah.
They're content creators. That's what they are now, right? That's what they are. We are content creators. We're not porn stars. They think they can have sex with whoever they want as long as they're getting paid $5.99 a month. For it, okay? That's not
well,
cheap.
They can. There's no law against it.
No. But if you're their boyfriend or their husband, you are not allowed to object because you're insecure, right? We've girls dropping out of college at an alarming rate in America. I came across this, my son showed me, one of my daughters, Pearl something, and she put down the statistics. 18 to 24 or 25-year-old girls in America, over 2 million are now on OF. Most of them have dropped out of college to pursue this career in OF, and they all think that they can meet this, that when you hear this mythical fucking unicorn, high-valued man that's 6'3", makes $1 million, $2 million, $5 million a year, right, has no problem with her doing OF and going off to the clubs and the pubs, and he has to accept that. And that's what's being said now.
I accept everything that you've said, and that we should be able to tell young women, because we tell young men how to behave all the time. We should be able to, as a society, tell young women what we believe is immoral or wrong. And I think we do sometimes, but maybe not all the time. You're probably right. They seem to be protected more so than young boys. But when it comes to young boys, this program seems to focus more so on young boys, although Angela says in the latter episodes, there is some focus on young girls too and their behavior. But it does focus more so on young boys because the main character obviously is a murderer. Do you think young boys now, 13-year-olds now, are more misogynistic, disrespectful towards women than, say, we would have been? Or say, I'm a different generation to you, Jason. You're in the middle there somewhere. And Angela, you're the same generation as Angela.
Yeah.
So I'm 10 years above you. Well, look, we're all in around the same age. So, look, do you think we were different in some way? Were we equally as disrespectful?
What do you mean disrespectful? So where's this disrespectful coming? I don't see young boys walking down the road and pushing girls out of the way. I don't see young boys. I see another one. There's a pandemic of murder against women in Ireland. where's this pandemic? And I only heard this today, and it was a young man on TikTok replying to something he heard from a young woman. These influencers now, apparently every one of them now has a story to tell. So my son was telling me he actually approached one girl six, 7 months ago, and she went through him for a short call. How dare he approach her, number one, to ask her for a phone number. Now, this is in a nightclub, and she basically told him in no uncertain circumstances or terms, if she decided she wanted to be with Andy, she'd approach them. Like, this is
okay. Well, hang on, Angela, has it changed that much now? Okay, well, sorry, just one time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, because as Jason was saying there, right, going back there last year, the year before, I put up on the local town forum about a kids' disco that was going on. And how it, and actually, it was definitely this time because it was in March. It was pissing rain out. Well, no, it was absolutely Baltic cold. I remember that. And I gave out because three young ones got out of a car and were going to be picked up 6 hours later because my window was down. I was having a fag. I could hear the conversation. And there was not, like, there wasn't even a T-shirt between the three of them. Do you know what I mean? They had no jumper. They'd no nothing on. And basically...
And what age group were they?
13 to 15.
So do you blame the parents on that? Or did the parents send them out looking okay and then they change in a maid's house? Isn't that what used to happen?
Well, the mother was sitting in the front seat, said she was going to pick them up at 12:30.
Oh,
and
okay.
This was a 6:30.
Niall, sorry, Angela. Is,
do you know who I blame? And I'm sorry now. I don't have kids, right? So let's go with this. Do you know who I blame? I blame the parents.
Sorry, Angela.
Yeah, but Jason, sorry, I want to just focus on, and you made some really good points, by the way, can I just say, but I want to focus on what we're talking about. Let's go back to adolescence for a second. Is it possible, Jason, that a family who seemed like a decent family in this program, right, have no idea that their 13-year-old, who looks like an innocent young fella, the night before stabbed a girl 7 times to death? Is that, like, would you know where kids are or what they're doing?
Well, Niall, now with mobiles you do okay because there's trackers on the but. Honestly, Niall, we all believe our children when they tell us they're going out, okay? We all believe that we've brought up our kids to be right and to be honest and to tell us the truth, okay? I told my mother and father I was going to A, okay? My mother and father believed I was going to A. I wasn't. I was passing by A to go to B. Right, as kids, that's what we do. And Niall, I've always heard you saying how you knew where your kids were every second of every day. I'm glad you did. But how did you, when you walked nights and you walked in the night industry, you were gonna, you know, you weren't always there. Like I had a wife. Listen, Niall, I believe my wife when she told me she was at home all night when I was out walking all night. Okay, let's not go down that road. Yeah. So you know what I'm saying? People do lie. Now in that, I mean. You know, you'd like to think you did. You'd like to think your son would be all on edge the night before he does that. But can you show me what a murderer looks like? No. Not the day before he commits murder, but you can show me the day after because his mugshot will be his hair all tossed up and blah, blah, blah.
But I've seen little scummy kids, right, 13-year-olds, where I look at them and I go, absolute scumbag, right?
Why? Hang on. Of the way he's dressed?
Well, but the way he's dressed, the way he has his head shaved. Obviously part of a gang.
My son,
or maybe not just the way he's dressed, his attitude, the way
there you go. So now you're delving into it.
Look at Anna Craigle. Boy A and boy B. Did their parents know?
No, but the question I was going to ask is, if your kid is a scumbag, you know, and looks like a scumbag, and acts like a scumbag, behaves like a scumbag, would you know?
What do you mean a scumbag?
Are you telling me there's no kids that are scumbags? Of course there is, Jason.
Oh, come here. The jails are full of them. But they're now adults. They were like that. But what do you mean, do you know? I mean, you put 10 younglers in from, say, the same road in a room, okay? They all talk the same. They're all going to dress the same and probably have their haircuts the same because none of them want to stick out. Now, you're going to tell me you can point out the scumbag between all of them. One of them might be a scumbag, yeah, and the rest of them are just trying to fit in with him. Doesn't mean they're all scumbags just because they're all dressed the same.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. I want to just bring Steve in as well if I can. Steve, hi, how are you?
I'm really annoyed.
Okay, why are you annoyed? And I'd actually be very conscious of what you say, obviously. Let's keep this like an adult conversation.
Well, I'm really annoyed at you, Niall.
Why?
You don't use the words scumbag and kids in the same sentence.
There is kids. Mm-hmm. There is 13 and 14
years old. No, hold on. There's kids who were neglected by their parents.
Niall,
do you know what?
Niall, you're the product of your environment, Niall. You're the product of your environment.
Okay, hang on, Jason. Let him finish.
Okay.
Hang on, Jason. Go ahead.
So, Jason is absolutely correct, Niall. And you know what? You are one of the privileged ones that ended up with decent parents who made you do your homework, fed you well, gave you rules and regulations and so on and so forth. But I just want you to cast your mind back and let's think for a second that you didn't end up with good parents. You ended up with absolute assholes. Do you think your life may have took a different direction?
Of course it probably would, yeah.
Okay, so then how the hell can you sit on radio and call kids scumbags when it's not their fault?
By the way, did I say it was their fault? But unfortunately, let's be real about things, and there is a reality to this. There are kids out there who have gone in the wrong direction, and they wouldn't think twice about pulling a knife on you, right? There are some. Now, it's a small amount.
Upstanding parents as members of the community.
They behave very poorly, but...
just because you call a child a scumbag doesn't mean that their parents are scumbags. There are plenty.
Nobody said that, Angela.
Steve, can you do me a favor? Let's get back to this program, Adolescence. Simon Harris believes it's compulsory viewing for all teenagers.
The reason why Simon Harris is doing that is because he's doing more male bashing. That's what's going on here. You know, because the pendulum, Niall, has swung.
No, hang on, Angela. Hang on. Let him finish.
Yes, I have seen it. Yeah, I have watched it from start to finish. I have seen it. And Angela, I know the scene that you're talking about where the girls were beating up the other girl. I know that. That's fine. But the main focus of this was the male being the aggressor, the violent one, because he was ignored and so on and so forth. I get all of that. But this is just more male bashing. Because I can promise you, Niall, if the shoe was on the other foot, there would be nobody in the Dáil talking about this whatsoever and promoting it. Because the pendulum has swung way too far. And do you know what? Women are going to get angry when I say this. But women right now are drunk on power. Because men have had the power for so long.
I was going to say, men were drunk on power for thousands of years.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but hold on. Men had the power for so long that we ended up bridling that power and ended up being more responsible, walking the dog down, the little handbag dog down the road, bringing the kids out on walks, playing with them, taking over the chores, cleaning up when they come home, doing all of that stuff. Men have come so far and we have bridled our power. But right now, women are drunk on power because it's going to their heads and all they're doing is male bashing on a constant basis.
Now, I don't think it's women that are male bashing. I think the media have a huge responsibility in this, by the way, and social media has a huge responsibility in this, because I do believe that young girls, teenage girls, are equally influenced as badly by social media as young boys. And yet, Jason makes a really good point. We wouldn't make a program or a documentary suggesting that young girls had lost control or they were on, you know, OnlyFans and it's immoral and all that kind of stuff. We wouldn't do that because they would be certainly challenged to that. But we'll do it about boys. Okay.
Well, no, I set you a challenge months and months and months ago when there was somewhat of a similar topic. It was men versus women, male bashing, blah, 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 blah. I asked you a question. When have you ever had a topic about men's problems? You don't. We don't talk about men's problems. What we do is we bash men on a constant basis, or we talk about women with PMS or whatever it is that they're going through, or stuff when they have babies and they're depressed afterwards. We've had tons of these conversations, and men are well aware of female issues, but I can promise you this much, the vast majority of women have no idea of men's issues. So please, Niall, I implore you again, I asked you months ago to do this, have a topic about men's problems, because I've never heard it before. Be honest, have you?
Niall, can I cut in there, Stephen?
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not disagreeing with Steve, by the way. Go ahead, Jason.
Niall, we have these trucks go around called Breast Check. Yeah?
Yeah.
Brilliant for women. Absolutely brilliant. Where's the one for prostate for men?
Yeah, none.
Thank you.
Testicular cancer. Yep.
Here's another one, okay? This is probably a bit off the subject. We're talking about men and women have all these authorities, and women are saying, men have all these authorities. Who decides whether the child lives or dies?
You're talking about abortion now, I assume.
Okay. Yeah. And does a man get his choice either way, whether he wants to be a father or not?
Yeah, but here's the thing. If a man, if you give a man a choice and he says, oh, well, I want to keep the baby, you know, ultimately he's not carrying the baby.
Okay.
But so ultimately he doesn't really have a choice. I mean, he can be asked.
Okay. But what about if he says, okay, well then I want nothing, no part of this whatsoever.
Oh, no, I've defended that argument in the past. If, for example, a man turns around and says, or a woman turns around and says, you know, I'm keeping the baby, and he says, well, I would rather we terminated the pregnancy, if they both agree with the idea of abortion, obviously. Then he should have no, he shouldn't be, you know, obliged then to do anything, because she's the one who wants to. So that should work both ways. Double standard.
But you couldn't have that conversation.
No.
Because you know what you'd be told.
Well, no, well, we did have that conversation, Mindy. I had that conversation a few years ago.
You pay for the oil. You cover oil. But it always goes the one way. The man should either cover up or pay.
Just very, very quickly, because I need to come to Andrew after the short break. I'm going to go to a short break. But Steve, so you think the program was... Do you think it intentionally... went over the top to focus on young boys? To be fair, it is an important issue, isn't it?
Of course it's an important issue. And there is sections of society in the UK where there's an awful lot of knife crime. And I get that. I completely get
it's becoming the same here too.
Yeah, where the producers are coming from.
I was in Dalier Street on Saturday, and a young lad outside where I was, was at a bus stop and pulled a knife. He was 14 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
14 years of age. And what I was told was, there's nothing the guards can do apart from take the knife off him. He's underage. He's too young. There's no point in doing all the paperwork. What's the point? Nothing is going to happen to him.
But Niall, all Simon Harris was doing, and you know this as well as I do, that all he was doing was basically saying, men are shit. You know, here, have a look at this show. Told you, you know, women are the best and men are shit. Because that's all that this is.
Steve, you said you watched it, right? You watched the program.
Mm-hmm.
In one sentence, I can tell you what that program was about, right? That program is about a young boy who was bullied by a girl online and he stabbed her because she mentally tortured him.
Mm-hmm.
What would you describe it as? Male bashing?
Yes, I would. I would describe what Simon Harris is doing as male bashing. Because I can promise you this much,
Simon Harris.
He hasn't.
I didn't ask you what Simon Harris. I asked you, adolescence, what is it about?
It's about a young boy who was accused of murder, because we know that he did do it.
He wasn't accused of murder, he was found guilty of murder.
Yeah.
Yes, he was accused of murder. I know, but I haven't got to the end of it yet, for Jesus' sake. I'm like on episode two. So it is about a young guy who was accused of murder, and they're running him through the trial, and you see it going back and forth from past to future. I haven't formed an entire opinion on what that program is, but I've formed an opinion on what Simon Harris has been doing.
But he said it's essential viewing for teenagers in secondary schools.
And this is my point.
Okay, let me ask you. If you had a teenager, would you say, listen, I'd like you to watch this. I think it's important that you watch this.
No, well, I don't think there's anything to be garnered from it. Why? Because, first of all, we've exposed our children to way too much violence on TV as it is, and all that is going to do is normalise it even more. You don't get that, do you?
Okay, stay there for a second, Steve, if you can. Thank you, Jason and Angela. I'll come to Andrew straight after the break. The number, by the way, is 087-188-TREBLE. Aware that not everybody has watched Adolescence yet. It is on Netflix, by the way, for those who haven't seen it. But the thing about it is, there's been so much about it in the newspapers and online, etc. There's been so many clips of it and everything else. I think people have a fair idea what it's actually all about. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Niall.
Good.
Lively one tonight, yeah.
Yeah. Andrew, I don't know, have you watched Adolescence?
I watched the first episode, yeah.
And what was your synopsis of the first episode?
I suppose not just focusing entirely on the TV show, what I think the whole kind of theme of this boils down to is just a total lack of accountability across society at the moment, you know, and I don't think Simon Harris's comments have really helped. You know, we are essentially always looking to blame someone else. So, you know, straight white men, as Jason was saying, you know, are kind of in the fire line for this. But, you know, it's just people not taking personal responsibility. Like, you had a caller saying, oh, there's no such thing as a kid who's a little scumbag. There absolutely is. Whether you grew up in Fox Rock or Darndale, you know, things like pulling knives, antisocial behavior, you know the difference between right and wrong. And, you know, I just think it's absolute nonsense that, you know, we're kind of politicizing this and making it an issue of, oh, you know, this is a young men problem. Oh, it's smartphones that are doing this. You know, this is simple people lacking accountability.
But Andrew, like, smartphones do have a huge influence in society. We've seen a huge change in teenagers over the last, you know, particularly 10 years because of TikTok, because of Instagram, because of, you know, Twitter and all the social media, mainly TikTok. Well, so we've seen that massive change in young people.
Niall, we saw that with MySpace. Before that, we saw it with the wireless. Before that, we saw it with the free press. You know, teenagers are always going to rebel. Yes, teenagers have access to an unbelievable amount of information these days. But it goes back, you know, I mean, smartphones don't make...
Oh, I lost Andrew. Maybe we can get Andrew back there. Sorry, I lost him. Steve, Andrew said the same thing, and I disagree with you. The only point I actually do disagree with you on, Steve, tonight is you said there's no such thing as a kid who's a scumbag. You know, try to tell that to somebody who's the victim of a 14-year-old who pulled a knife on them.
Okay, so Niall, I would really like him to speak to that guy.
Andrew, no, he's come back on in a second. We'll get him back. We just lost. Maybe his battery went or something.
Then I should hold the question that I have until he comes back on. But what I will say in the meantime,
He's back. Look, he's back there. Go on. You can ask Andrew the question.
So Andrew, you're basically saying that these young kids, they know the difference between right and wrong, and you're absolutely
100%.
Correct. Bear with me. You're absolutely correct. They do understand the difference between right and wrong. But unfortunately, they don't fully understand consequence. That is the big difference. They're told it's wrong to steal a car. But do they fully understand the consequence that if they drive that car down the road and one of their friends go out the window and dies? No, they don't. It is only as an adult that we can fully grasp. And even as adults, we can't fully grasp consequence. So young children who are, you know, say 10 to 16 years of age, who are... causing an awful lot of trouble in areas. Yes, we can say that they know that they're doing wrong, but at the end of the day, they very rarely consider the consequence for both their victim and themselves, because they don't stand there thinking, oh, if I sell these drugs, you know, I'll never get a job in the future and it can really impact me. So they don't understand that difference. They know right and wrong.
Let Andrew respond to that. Andrew, to defend Steve's argument, and I will to some degree, many, many years ago, I was sent out to do a report on gangs that were fighting across the Belgarde Road. There was two housing estates fighting against each other across the Belgarde Road. And when I went out, there was a 10-year-old, I'd say he was about 10, with a Molotov cocktail in his hand. Now, you know, I couldn't call that 10-year-old a scumbag because he's a child. He's practically a baby. So his parents are clearly scumbags. It was 9:30 at night. He was out with a Molotov cocktail in his hand. Where were his parents? So I understand the point that Steve is making to some degree.
I mean, like, you know, do you want me to respond to that?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we've all, you know, yeah, kids are stupid. You don't think of consequences. And, you know, I think it's a societal level problem that for a lot of stuff these days, there just aren't any consequences.
That's ridiculous notion.
No, there is none. I mentioned that a few minutes ago. If you're 13 years of age and you have a knife, you're not going to go to jail.
Listen to what I said earlier. When I said the kids don't understand the consequences for both their victim and themselves. So the consequence of them starting to sell drugs for the guy down the road is that they're going to be led into a life where they can most likely be murdered or, you know, have their family in trouble, all sorts of stuff. They don't understand that consequence. Because, Niall, I'll put it to you. You said that when you were younger, you were a ridiculous freak driving down the road at stupid speeds, yes?
Yeah, when I say younger, I was about 19 or 20.
Yep. Okay, yep. even at 19 or 20, I can guarantee you didn't fully understand the consequences.
I was irresponsible, completely irresponsible.
It was irresponsible because you didn't understand the consequence. Again, so this is what I'm talking about with these type of kids. They don't understand that, and that's what's lacking in
society.
Okay,
well, just before I come to Bernie and Ali, Andrew, I just want to ask you, back to adolescence again. The idea that, I suppose, we've been told that society is full of toxic masculinity, and this program kind of focuses very much on that. that young boys are being raised now with this disrespect for young girls because of social media influence and gangs. Do you buy that, or do you think that's a thing?
I don't buy it for a second. I think it is absolute nonsense, and I think it is a cop-out distracting from accountability, things like good parenting, and one of the best ways of growing, which is you F around and you find out. You know, consequences are one of the best ways to learn hard lessons. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this toxic masculinity thing is absolute nonsense. But
there is toxic masculinity, isn't there? There is people there. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate the word toxic masculinity because it seems to apply to all men, which is completely untrue. 99% of men, their masculinity is not toxic. Masculinity is a good thing, just like femininity is a good thing. But there is toxic masculinity. Like, for example, you see Andrew Tate. He has so many followers. I shiver when I hear him talking.
Well, now, can I just say something there about Andrew Tate? Can I just, please, this is very important. You have to ask yourself the question, why does Andrew Tate have such a huge following of young boys? Why?
Because they look up to him, because he's some sort of hero. They think he's some sort of hero.
Yeah, why?
Well, I don't understand it, to be honest with you, Steve. I don't
because
understand
there it. Is because young boys are thirsty. They're starving for male role models in their lives. And society in general has removed all of that because of toxic masculinity. Young boys need good figures in their lives, but unfortunately they've been all stripped out because fathers have had their powers taken away from them a long, long fucking time.
Fathers are also leaving their mothers too, you know. That's also a problem.
Absolutely, and the government have just made it easy for that to happen instead of sticking out throughout relationships, Niall.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Bernie. Bernie, hi. Ali, I'll be with you in 2 seconds. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. I'm all right. So, Bernie, in relation to this programme, have you watched it? I've only got 4.5 minutes left to go to Ali as well.
I did watch it, yes. In my age group, I was absolutely shocked that this goes. This is actually reality. And I just couldn't imagine being a mother of a 13-year-old and a father to have the guards turn your house upside down in the morning, not knowing what it was about. Like, it's really shocking that this is happening. And we as a society, and especially in my age group, We didn't set out to be parents and have grandchildren like this. Like, what do we do? What do we do as the grandparents?
Mm.
What do we? How can we help?
But does the program not suggest that this? It gives the impression that this is a huge problem in society, and that young boys behave in this fashion. Now, obviously, he was angry, or he felt bullied, or whatever it is that he's supposed to have felt. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that's any reason to kill somebody. But that young boys, you know, are this masculinity they have at 12 or 13 years of age is toxic. And we're teaching them that. Do you think that's a bit of a generalization? A lot of people are saying that, it's a kind of generalization about young men, which is not true.
Well, I can only base it on my own grandchildren who are in that age group at the moment and what I see. So I have one on the other side of the world who is happy tinkering with computers and, you know, is that going through the stage of hormone changes, and it's very difficult. And his height is coming again, you know, all the basic natural things that happen to a man. And then I have another one here, and he's trying to adapt to growing to over 6 foot in a few hours. and, you know,
it's
I'm watching these things unfold, and they're still lovely, caring grandchildren. But I do see that they're being taken in by all these games, and, you know, they're distancing themselves slowly from us.
Okay, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Ali as well. Ali, hi, how are you?
Hi, I've been totally. I just came into the conversation towards the end, and I haven't seen the program, but I personally think myself, if you don't give people a chance to get out, then you cannot change. So, for example, Knocknaheeny and all those areas, they have been built up and they have put schools and stuff like that and tried to adapt or regenerate or whatever the word
that's the word they use, yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is if nothing changes, nothing changes.
Same as Ballymun, yeah. So, they did the same in Ballymun in Dublin. They regenerated it, but all they did was take down the flats and moved everybody into houses together.
Exactly. So if nothing changes, nothing changes. You can't expect... Myself, I used to be from the north side, and I moved to the countryside when I was around 12, 13.
You emigrated.
Yeah, pretty much. And when I seen the two different lifestyles, even at that age, I spotted it. Like the difference in, for example, when I was just finishing primary school, and you'd ask people like, "Oh, where?" Like the main topic was, "Where will we go that all our friends are going to secondary school?" Where in the countryside, it was like, "Where can I go to become a radiographer?"
Okay, but here's the thing, and I'm going to just throw this into the mix.
You know
here.
What I mean, though?
Yep, I know. I'm going to just throw a grenade. I absolutely do know what you mean. But I'm going to just throw this little grenade into this one, right? You mentioned Auchnaheeny. I mentioned Ballymun. When you go to working class areas, you find that there is more broken homes. You find there is less men in the relationships. You find a lot more single parents. Now, there are great single parents out there, before I continue this conversation. There are some wonderful single parents who've done a great job at raising their children. But statistically, children fare off worse than single parent families or broken homes.
Look, listen, I'm in college myself at the moment, right? I don't mean it to be like this. I'll give you two examples. When I go to college, that's a different vibe again. And you're in with people who have a lot of money, shall we say. And just because the way I look or the way I speak or the way I sound, people don't take me too serious, but yet I'm at the top of my class.
Mm.
We were in a class. They don't. They're from India and China and all these places, and they look at you like as if you're scum.
Right.
We were inside a class for digital transformations and Tableau, which is a system that's used to create graphs and all sorts.
Okay.
And the lecture basically was just going on about how he couldn't get funding. And I said, where are you living? He couldn't get funding for some GA project that he wanted to do. And he said, "Oh, I live in Black Rock." And I laughed. I said, "You must be from the nice area to say you couldn't get funding." But he was showing us how he used data science to get it.
Yeah.
He said, where are you from?" And I told him, do you know what the graduation rate for someone is in Auchnaheeny? It's 6%.
I don't know the figures, but I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm sure it is a lot lower than it would be for somewhere like Black Rock in Dublin or whatever it happens to be. But look, Ali and Bernie, I have to wrap it up. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. We'll continue. Maybe take one or two more callers on this app.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan,
Ireland's classic hits radio.